And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, I had another word I was going to share, but I will share it tomorrow, God willing, because gospel reading was so good. And I'm going to say some things for those of you CTKers that you've heard me say before in light of those scriptures, but I think it's important to be reminded. I've discovered in this walk with the Lord now that covers many decades that I often have to be reminded of something I've learned before because my experience and the environment that I walk through changes. So and scripture is a fresh word always, no matter how many times I've heard it. And it's interesting to me that that's being read, the gospel reading today, during Advent. Because Advent is like this schizophrenic season. You're celebrating the coming of the Lord and the birth of Christ and anticipating the coming of the Lord again. And biblically, the way we do worship, the word anamnesis is a word that means to remember. It's translated to remember in the New Testament. But it simply means to bring a past event present. An event that's past, but you make it present. And in making it present, you're there as if you were there when it first began. So that's why every Eucharist, Jesus was slain before the foundation of the world. And every Eucharist is a celebration, not just a memorial, but a celebration of the cross. But it's actually being present in these symbols. You're actually there spiritually at the original event. It's a remarkable thing. And so when we worship through the seasons of the year, the word liturgy just means the work of the people. That's all that word means. It doesn't mean any kind of particular structure. Somehow people think liturgy means a specific structure. It's just the work of the people. And the Jewish idea of worship, because they would remember all the feasts, that they would remember the Feast of Tabernacles, all the different things that they would do, trumpets and Pentecost. They believed, like the Feast of Tabernacles, when they would set up tents and they would spend a week in those tents, and they believed that when they did that, they were experiencing as if they were there the 40 years that their ancestors spent in the wilderness longing for Canaan and really longing for the coming of Jesus. And so that's a Jewish understanding of worship, and Christianity is birthed out of Judaism, out of the soil of Judaism. That's the way Jesus and all the apostles thought. And so when we do things like Advent, and we're not just anticipating him coming again and celebrating the fact that he came, we're kind of becoming childlike and acting out as if we were the ones hoping for the Messiah to show up and to be born, and entering into that kind of anticipation. Because in the days that Christ was born, as I mentioned Sunday, there were all kind of terrorist acts that Jewish leaders and were carrying out. And there was such an anticipation that it was the time, it was the ripe time for the Messiah. That's why when John the Baptist showed up and started doing what he did, people came to him and said, "Are you the one?" Because there had been a number of people saying that they were the one, but they weren't. And so the air was kind of ripe with that anticipation. And John the Baptist never declared he was the one, but his life and his lifestyle and his message about repenting for the kingdom of heaven is here caused people to ask him that. So there was just this atmosphere of anticipation. And for us, again, there's just this, we're supposed to enter into that. As we do these actions, what the Bible understanding of worship is, that when we do these actions called Advent or Christmas or Easter season or Lent, we're actually bringing a past event present, and we're there. We're like walking out, entering into the same anticipation that the Messiah was going to show up really soon, be born into this world. And we're wired to be able to think that way. But you can't just think like a logical Westerner. Remember, Jesus wasn't born in Nebraska or New Jersey. He was a Middle Easterner who thought with more mystery than we do. So the idea that this story about the temple being cleansed by Jesus be happening in Advent is important because the difference between us and anticipating the birth of Christ, we actually saw the end of the movie. We know that he actually did come. And so you see, I remember when I went to go see, I've gone to see certain movies and I've seen them before and I knew the end, but if I waited long enough to go see them, I was just as pumped about seeing them again. I've watched the same movies 40 times, knowing how they're going to end, but I just like the way you get there and all the cool stuff that happens, right? And so knowing that his birth is coming, knowing we're in that time, anticipating all that that means, it's a season of repentance. Not just a season of repentance about him coming again, but also a season of repentance because I know he's coming for the first time and I want my heart to be prepared. I want my heart to be like the shepherds. I want my heart to be like the Magi who worshiped him. Amen? And so this idea of Jesus cleansing the temple kind of is in that flow that it should happen in Advent because, as we've said before, it became a den of thieves. He says, my house was meant to be a house of prayer, and you've made it into a den of thieves. If you check out your own spiritual walk, this house is called to be a house of worship. This temple, a house of worship, a house of prayer. When it stops being a house of worship and house of prayer, I suddenly recognize that thieves begin to creep in. And that all the knowledge that I may have, because Westerners have more Bible knowledge than any group of Christians in Christian history. I mean, we've got info. So most of us are about 3 miles wide. But without prayer, we're about a half an inch deep. And it's the life of prayer that takes the things that we know and causes them to become embedded words. I think that's what it says in James, that his word would be read it to you. Engrafted, implanted. Receive the word implanted, which is able to transform your souls. And I believe only in the context of a life of prayer. And so I've committed myself to a rhythm of prayer. But sometimes my world gets so distracting that it gets a little thin. And I can always tell when it gets thin because I start acting like thieves have set up camp in the temple. And what keeps thieves from setting up camp in the temple is what? Walking in the Spirit. But I'll only walk in the Spirit to the degree that I'm a house of prayer. Because if you stop being a house of prayer, you'll become a den of thieves. That's just the truth of it all. And so if you're trying to figure out more revelation that you need to get, new insight, some new truth, that's cool because the riches of Christ are unsearchable. So you're always seeing new things. I love finding new stuff. But if you'll pay attention to your history, you'll get some new thing. But if you're not walking in a place where prayer, just intimacy is really the priority, you'll find that after a few weeks, that revelation seems to be not so revealing anymore. Because it's the time of prayer that causes it to be implanted and rooted that actually changes my life. Then it becomes a part of your spiritual DNA. Then you're operating out of heart, not just head. Because if all you're doing is operating out of information, you're puffed up. But it's in a place of prayer that keeps me rooted down and walking stuff out. Okay? So I'm grateful that during this season of repentance, it's a crazy season of giddy joy and reflective repentance. Giddy joy because we understand the madness of God, that the way he changed the world was to step out of eternity and take on human flesh as a baby. You can't get any smaller than that or weaker than that. And from that place of smallness and weakness, he leavened the whole thing, transformed the whole thing. We know that. We get the scheme. Man, I can't wait for it to happen. Oh, but it happened. No, I understand. But I'm a worshiper. I can't wait for it to happen. Like it had never happened. I just know it's going to happen. It's even more exciting for me than them because I can ignore all the other voices that are telling me the world's coming to an end or this is going to change the world or this guy gets elected or that lady gets elected. I know what's going to change the world. It's about to happen. So I want to make sure my house is a house of prayer. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.